live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kypreos, Sammy McKee, and for Justin Bourne, our very own. He's wonderful. He's talented. Put your huns together for the lovely Gord Stellick.
Well, sounds what I used to get all the time. Just a little smattering of applause. Well, the national side, do the Ottawa Senators, do they want the playoff spot in the East?
Ooh.
And do Vancouver and or Calgary, do you guys want the spot in the West? Like St. Louis and Utah are kind of saying that maybe we're a little more hungry than you.
Plenty to get into in this next hour. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jerry D, comedian and star of Mr. D, Amazon Prime. And a very, very funny guy. So we're going to keep it a little light here. But you know what? He goes hardcore on his opinions on the National Hockey League, which I absolutely love. So I'm really looking forward to this this segment here.
With the brief time you worked at the Score, but I worked a little bit longer. Do you remember him, Jerry D, doing comedy bits?
Yes.
He did sports comedy bits. He had some, because really... really funny ones. And then later, Cabral Richards, Cabby, started there doing Cabby on the Streets and all that. But he is a funny guy and he's a big sports fan.
Well, he's got plenty going on right now, including, I don't know if he started his tour yet, but I think we'll figure out where he is in a few minutes here. But looking forward to that. As far as the temperature in the water in Vancouver regarding Pettersson and JT Miller has really hit a feverish pitch.
Yeah. So you're good buddies with Rick Tocchet. And I really got from that, and obviously Rutherford and Alvin would be on side about, okay, because this has been out there forever, and we're just tired of it. And the 21 other guys are tired of it, and we're tired of it. And I don't know, KP, my read kind of is on it that, hey, in real life, you know, people will have, say marital issues. So each side will talk to friends, right? And they'll try to help them make it work, whatever it may be. We'll talk to friends, and maybe things go well for a while. And then at some point, the friends will go, you guys got to look at separating. I can't. There's nothing else I can do. Like, you guys got to figure it out what may be. And I get the sense.
They've been saying this for a while, though.
Well, but this is, right? This is public now. When they made it public, it kind of was, they got to figure it out. Because we got to do better on the ice, and it sounds like, you know, whatever, we've tried everything. Let's see if they can figure it out, and we shall see. But that I'm this is new to me. This kind of situation is new to me.
Well, they had Friedge talking on Saturday night about the potential of, like, you know, he said that there's three outcomes, all that stuff, but like both of them,
yeah.
Both the options.
Well, there was not traded, one of them traded, and both of them traded. So those are the three options that Friedge laid out.
Well, there's a fourth one. If, like, a UFO lands on Rogers Arena and abducts them both. Did Elliot mention that one?
That outcome was not mentioned.
He left that for you.
But I was surprised to hear Friedge say both. Like, both?
Well,
and then you're totally changing your entirely what you are.
You really, like, we can't even, in this world of salary caps and who can take what? Do you really see a scenario where it's both?
I mean, that's a lot of cash going out.
Come on.
That's almost 20 mil.
It's Pierre-Luc Dubois' contract times two. I mean, that's what L.A. did, right? And I know he's fit. So the Mike Hoffman, Eric Carlson situation is the last one I can kind of think about. Whatever happened off the ice, Hoffman went pretty quick. Carlson then after. They were a team that had been one overtime goal away from making it to a Stanley Cup final right around then or a year earlier. Right. So to Sammy's point about changing the makeup of a team, this sounds like, one or both could go, as absurd as it seems. They just signed Pettersson last year.
That's right? I don't think he's going.
Well,
anywhere.
I don't either. But I mean, like, it's like they signed him and the next day did this crop up, like in talking to him or him talking to them about, you know, what may be untenable to a degree in the situation, you know, so it's this. That, because right away, it seemed like when he signed his contract last year, his on-ice productivity hurt, and JT Miller, same thing on the ice. So can they figure it out off the ice? But I think they're kind of saying as well, we got to figure it out on the ice, because they were entrenched in a playoff spot, and now they are hanging on by the hair of their chinny chin chin, Kippy.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of
money that's presented to you. And, you know, regardless of if you want to be there or if you don't want to be there, like, is he 11 and a half? Was it 11 and a half for 8 years that he ended up signing Pettersson? I think regardless if you like, you know, you'd sign in a lot of places for that much money. And, you figure it out later. But that contract presented to you, how can you not? I mean, I don't know how you can't take it. Like, even if you don't love where you are, even if you don't love your teammates, if you believe, you know, I don't know. I think that's why that happened. It's a lot of money.
Pettersson came out publicly and said he knows he has to be a lot better. And Alvin certainly, and Rutherford behind the scenes challenging him also, you know, publicly as well. But Gordo, I cannot see them going and trading Pettersson, who's, I believe, 5 years younger. These are 5 years of prime Pettersson.
Yeah, if one of the two were going to go hockey-wise, not knowing the situation, it would be Miller, obviously, you would think. Obviously. And I mean, the fact that Pettersson re-upped showed to me that he wanted to stay there. If there were big issues, you don't re-up for 8 years, and then a month later, whatever the extent of this crops up. So I agree with you. I wait and see, well, about him getting healthy and, you know, what they do on the ice, and do they genuinely fix it off the ice, which is kind of the challenge that the elephant is no longer in the room. And whatever it is, it's up to them. Otherwise, someone moves out of the house.
Four games on tap, including an all-important one between the Vancouver Canucks tonight in Montreal. Prime Amazon game Monday night tonight. Just in terms of now the importance of just not getting the win, but maybe alleviating some of the noise. Would a win do that tonight?
Well, I don't like using the term a must win, but I think it kind of is for Vancouver. And meanwhile, Montreal is playing their best hockey. They're loose. So that makes it more difficult. But yeah, you're nip and tuck for the playoffs. And like I said, St. Louis and Utah have closed the gap. So all of a sudden you lose a few and you're the New York Rangers of the West. A team that was sitting pretty and are sitting with a really bad view. So I kind of looked at that tonight as a real, real important game for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Habs have gotten really hot here. And you look at where they're sitting in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the last playoff spot is held right now on points, not points percentage, by the Pittsburgh Penguins at 41 points. The Habs are 39 points. They're right there. And if you had a picture that at the start of the year, that the Red Wings, Rangers, Islanders would all be behind the Habs in the standings, you would never have believed me. It's crazy how far they've come. They were brutal.
And they got their Kevin Lankin in goal all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
Kid from Czech, Dobish, whatever, that played in the USHL and played Ohio State University. And we've had some neat, surprising goaltending stories. It's wonderful when it happens to your particular team.
Hi, and Calgary's right there with Vancouver right now, but they're coming off a couple of losses as well. But
to a tired Nashville team.
How long can kind of Calgary hang in there, and then when do they really focus on moving some assets, and how deep would they consider going here? Because between Montreal and Calgary, to be in that conversation right now and get your fan base excited – you just can't turn around and just like that take them out of a playoff race because of a trade you thought you couldn't refuse, could you? I know Philly would.
Yeah,
we know Keith Jones would.
Yeah, different case. So it's funny. Last year, Calgary became a seller on the fly. They started the season, and it looked like they were going to keep Hanifin and whatever. Then everything changed, and they got rid of everybody. And I know they said in the summer, look, we're not sellers again because we were sellers last year. But, you know, whether it's Nazem Kadri or other situations, there's talk about guys that provide value that you could get for more assets down. So, Doug Armstrong in St. Louis was a guy when he traded Stastny to Winnipeg, just said, hey, I don't care that we're only a few points out of the playoffs. I'm not losing a guy for nothing is going to be UFA. I don't know if Calgary does the same thing. I think they think they got to be in the hunt and battle.
All right, Sammy, what's going on, buddy? We're ready to go. Let's welcome him in, Jerry D, comedian star of Mr. D on Amazon. Hey, Jerry, there's nothing funny about making us wait for you.
I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear you.
Where are you, Val? What's going on?
in Toronto. Yeah, just at home. Nothing special. I wish I was in a fancier place, but I'm not.
So let me ask you something. You know, we know he has this big, huge comedian star, you know, host of Family Feud. Is it true you would all trade it in to run an NHL team?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, I liked coaching a lot. I don't know. I liked it. I was coaching minor hockey for years and then crept my way up to Wexford Raiders, which was a tier two team at the time. I think they're since gone, but
I was a Wexford guy.
Were you?
Yeah, I went to the Pee Wee tournament with Wexford.
Yeah, a long history. And so I did that, and then I was probably 26, 27 and ran a hockey school, and then I started this comedy journey. And I always joke, I saw Billy Bowler and I met the owners of Windsor and Howie at Barrett. I'm like, you know what? I get on the bench as an assistant. I probably don't know enough to be head coach, but I'll bring you some great interviews. So maybe one day I'll creep back in. Who knows?
Well, Kippy, we were mentioning Jerry about at the Score where you had those great fun sports comedy bits way back when, and Kippy and I worked there. I also got to say, Al and Leslie Kogel say hi. We were just over there for dinner. So that's a guy you golfed
at,
Don. Yeah, that's a good friend growing up. Yeah. And
Alan was a friend in grade eight. What a great guy.
Great.
And Leslie, too, I've only met her recently, but.
Yeah. Well, anyway, just said to say hi. But the other was, I follow you on Twitter, and Saturday you said it all about where are we getting together for the Sweden-Finland junior hockey semifinal? Where's everyone gathering? And I kind of thought, in breaking everything down, I thought that was kind of a fun comment about it.
Yeah, it's probably wasn't fun at a network level, as you guys know, you're really relying on Canada and in international competition and the Leafs, Habs, Jets, you know, that whole Canadian sort of seven teamer, but it just, to me, it's unfortunate that we rely on that tournament so much in Canada to at least be in the finals. That been a tough couple of years. That game to me was we can talk about refs all we want in hockey, and that was a tough one to understand, but I'm sure there's both sides to the kneeing calls, the missed head smashed into the board call. But again, we're biased, right? So we see.
So where are you, Jerry? Where are you on the two sides of, yeah, we gotta clean up this program, we got some serious issues, or come on, they're just kids? Where do you sit?
Yeah, they're just kids. I do question the, I don't know enough about it, you too well. I do question the, I don't quote me, was there one NCAA player, or do we just not have enough NCAA players there? We don't seem to have a lot of NCAA representation at that camp. But again, I don't know enough. I know, obviously, Celebrini's there and any of our other great players that are in the NHL. It's a different tournament. But ideally, there's a way that's a true, I was joking after. It's like, if your kids play sports and you win a provincial championship, but the team's missing their three best players, you're like, did we really win it? So, I mean, they did, but I feel like it's just, we're better at hockey, so our better players are in the NHL. And it's not a real true World Juniors. It's not an excuse. We should still compete better than we perhaps did, but our two of our best players, three of our best players, and other teams have it too. I just don't know if they have as many missing.
So, you as a parent, so if I remember correctly, your daughter was elite golfer, then became an elite volleyball player. So what was it like your mantra about being a parent with extensive coaching experience, but about the natural part, the love of the game, but also giving them enough or helping them get enough instruction to develop? How did you balance all that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I try to teach my kids, my oldest daughter, the golf, she's seven. She doesn't know what it means to get a scholarship. I was always pushing sports to be the best you can be. But I tell them, you know, be the best you can be at anything, right? If you want to play piano, then just, you know, I saw a great Steve Nash speech when he was inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, just find something and fall in love with it and be passionate. If it's school, great. If it's music, plays, drama, sports. For me, it was my love with sports and comedy, and I try to pass that on to them. But, you know, we see a lot of it. There's the intrinsic love of it has to come from them. But how much of that can come from a 12-year-old? You know, when my daughter was elite golfer, I remember a really good golf coach, Tristan at Team Canada, said, you don't want to be the best 12-year-old in the world. You want to be the best 18-year-old in the world, right? Like, so to speak. So it's a balance. You got to, you know, do I motivate them and say, hey, you know, you guys want to do some extra clinics? Yeah. Are they going to look it up online? Some kids do. Some kids will. And all three of my kids are different. You know, I tried to get my son in hockey, and I just thought when I had a boy, I joked, that's why I had a boy, to try to, you know, go to the rinks and stuff. My daughter's passed on hockey pretty quickly. And I'm like, okay, we got he had no interest. And I realized that, you know, a friend of mine, Dominic Amodio, I don't know if you remember Dominic. Dominic was a great, you know, he played a bit for Team Canada. He played at UNH. He was a great player. He was a Hobie Baker runner-up and, you know, never made it, and smaller guy, but just a phenomenal hockey player. And he calls me up. He said, hey, I hear your son's a 2012, you know, which is the birth year. And I'm putting a skate together. And I said, there were six. I said, well, he skates. He goes, hey, that's okay. They're all just learning. And I went to the skate and, you know, these kids were toe dragging and roofing it.
Yeah.
You couldn't raise the puck.
Listen,
so
we're parents right now, and we're sitting back and we're talking in a calm, collected manner here. But the system out there baits you in so sometimes crazy for parents that you either like get into it and try to keep up with the Joneses or the, you know, Stamkoses or the Gretzky's, or you don't. But it is really hard once you're in there and you're watching what other parents or kids are doing, and it's very difficult not to get sucked into that, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. But as you know, Nick, and you've gone through this with your kids, it is true that the best 12-year-old is not often the best 16-year-old, and they can burn out. But at the end of the day, I do believe it's a gift you're born with. And I know that sounds crazy. I think, you know, you went as far as you did, Nick, and had a great career and did what every, you know, a lot of kids want to do. And you probably just loved playing and played. You probably wasn't summer skates and all this crazy clinics and shooting in your basement every day for 5 hours. You get those kids that make it. But at the end of the day, I think it's you've got it. And if you've got it, you do have to, you know, push your kid or push yourself. And when they're younger, they're not always going to push themselves at 12. But, you know, we live the dream in Canada, right? Like, you know, my son's a really good volleyball player, but I always joke, like, there's no World Junior Boxing Day volleyball tournament we're all glued to. Like, it's just, we just love hockey in this country. So, but it's a certain personality too, right? It wasn't his personality. It's a grittier personality that, you know, I remember playing hockey as a kid and I just loved hitting and running at guys and I was small, but some kids, that's not their thing, right? So, you know, you let them find it and you do get hooked and caught up in it. And if you don't go to the summer skates, well, you're falling behind and you're like, oh, you're not going to make AAA. And, you know, we see and hear a lot of that. So I've learned on my own, they eventually find their own way and, you know, we support them. And if they want to play at the next level, whatever sport that is, we're there for them. I encourage it. But if they don't, we just encourage them to fall in love with something.
So my mom always had a great line that if you could instill in your kids a sense of self-confidence and a sense of humor, they will go far. I've always loved that line. And I'm thinking, Jerry, there's so many athletes that want to play music. What about guys that are athletes that are comedians and want to hang with Jerry D and do an amateur like comedy kind of thing? Like, are there certain, like, I think Peyton Manning's been a natural. Now he's an older one, retired, but I don't know. Are there certain ones that you're tempted to say, man, I wouldn't mind doing an open mic thing, or they've said, hey, you want to banter with this particular individual? Yeah.
Well, not comedy. Comedy is singing. I've seen comedies. It's embarrassing. It doesn't go well. You could be a great singer in your basement. You know, I'm working on a little project with Ryan O'Reilly right now, who's, if you know, is right into music and playing. And one of his former junior teammates, Kelly Joffrey, and they're doing some great stuff and singing. But comedy is, you know, I had Terry Ryan. I don't know if you remember Terry Ryan. I mean, I'm sure you do, but
yeah.
Terry was like an eighth overall pick with the Canadians, wrote a book, and it was crazy. And I said, why don't you come open for me? I'm doing these OHL rinks. And he had these great hockey stories. But, you know, it's different for comedy. Like, no one's dying to try comedy. Like, it's because it's going to fail, right? You're going to fail the first 10 to 50, 100 times. So I don't really see it as much. But they do appreciate humor. You know, I always think the hockey guys are you know, the chirping world is just naturally funny, and they you know, they go at each other. So I think it's a good connection. And we had Nathan MacKinnon on our show. We had Camilleri on our show. They were great. You know, they had timing, and they're funny people. So like any sport, a lot of funny people, as Nick and you know. And but I don't think any of them are itching to try comedy, because it would not go well. It just would take a while.
I still, like, remember yesterday, Wayne Gretzky hosting Saturday Night Live, and we know what Saturday Night Live is today and how it moves, you know, the whole country, the whole North America, every Saturday night. But that took some big cojones by Wayne to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I've seen Wayne in situations like Wayne, you know, Wayne likes comedy. Wayne has been at events I've been at. He understands, and you know this as well. He likes to laugh, and whether he could deliver the laughs, I don't know. But you know, he's funny in his way. And again, it's I've been lucky to meet a lot of. I mean, I look up to all you hockey guys and what you did, Nick, and what you're you know Gord too. Like, everything you guys have done is a business I wanted to do so badly and loved and miss. And so I'm more envious of all of them and what they did and you did, and, you know, playing in front of 20,000 people. And, you know, I've got to know Healy quite a bit over the years. He played with my brother in college. And I remember Heal saying, you know, when the applause ends, right, it's so true. It's you, man, it must be amazing to play in front of that. And when that's over, it's like, oh, my God. So there's no age limit in comedy, which is good. I can keep doing this. Unfortunately, in sports, you age yourself out eventually.
I feel bad that you saw me throw my tennis racket at the cricket club. I always feel bad about that, you know?
Just... I used to, oh, man. I grew up playing tennis first. I was playing in all the OTA tournaments. And, you know, we played everything as kids. I'm sure you guys were the same. There's no single sport. And I used to play those OTA tournaments, and I would throw my racket. So I thought nothing of it. It's I tell... You know, I've learned now, kids have two ways of expressing themselves, either anger or sadness. So they're either crying at the end of something or angry. So I think you want one of them, or otherwise there's just no emotion. So no, I you're a big curler too. You're up there. You do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's,
oh,
it's
yeah. He's like the king of Kensington at the cricket club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Gordo, what a guy. Hey, I got to ask you before we let you go, just your thoughts across the country from Vancouver, maybe the situation on who you think might get traded all the way to Montreal or Ottawa. What stands out from you when it comes to the NHL in our country?
You know, I think, you know, we say this, I grew up a Leaf fan, still a Leaf fan. And I think, you know, they're certainly the pieces there more, you know, the defensive side, the goaltending is just, you know, they're top of the league. They're up there right now. And so I think there's some hope there. I like what Ottawa has. I love the Tkachuk and Batherson world of what they're doing. And they've got some great opportunity. I think, you know, Vancouver's got maybe a couple situations there where maybe someone will get traded. I don't know what's going to happen with, is it TJ Miller? Is it, he's kind of, there's some, you know, rumblings there. So, yep. Winnipeg started strong. I never wanted to start strong like that. I think it's a kiss of death starting out that strong. Montreal, I think they're, you know, a couple years away still from really competing with the youth. And, but again, they're hanging in there in games. So I think there's a lot of promise for a lot of the teams. The Flames are probably going to, you know, they've got some guys. I think Kadri is a good playoff guy to pick up, and they're probably in a situation where they might look at unloading. And of course, Edmonton's, you know, I think it's, you know, if I were to predict an Edmonton-Toronto final, which would be my guess. It would be exciting, but I think, you know, Edmonton, Toronto are certainly in a good position.
Got to ask you about your tour. Is it funny you should say tour? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I start touring. Last year I focused more on Ontario, and now I'm focusing on the other provinces. So I think I head out this month, Winnipeg, Regina this month, then I get to London and Halifax, Moncton, Saskatoon, Montreal, pretty much everywhere for the rest of the year. And then I enjoy that. I haven't done a lot of those cities in a while. So getting back on the road is, other than the travel, is a lot of fun.
Now, Family Feud, are you going to continue that?
Yeah, Family Feud Canada is back. Well, officially, I haven't heard if it's back. I think it's back.
I want to take on TSN and Family Feud.
I said, like, why don't we do Sportsnet versus TSN? It's a ratings juggernaut. You know, getting all of you against all of them would be great.
Oh. Yes, some of those guys, how they're doing, they're stuck for an answer.
just the chirps would be so great. I'm always pushing for, I was close to getting a Habs Leafs, current Habs, current Heat, current Habs, current Leafs. But as you know, that's always tough to get with their schedules and when we film. So we're always working on sort of cameos like that. And you never know, you may see that down the road for sure. So it's a lot of fun to do that show. The families are, you know, they're amazing and they love it. And we have a great group that casts them. So I look forward to it. And, you know, it's a ton of fun.
Well, we really appreciate you stopping by on the show, man. Great stuff. Thanks. Good luck with everything. And we'll stay in touch. We'll have you on again real soon here, Jer. Thanks
awesome.
For doing this, buddy.
Love the show. Thanks, guys. Great to see you both.
That is Happy Jerry D. One of our country's best.
Yeah.
It makes us laugh.
And, you know, comedy shows are like, they're getting big crowds now. Like it's, and I assume he will too, because he's really funny. It's fun to see in person.
Ask me what the key to good comedy is.
Okay, what's the key?
Timing.
A good time. Okay. Okay, ask me the oldest joke in the world. That one.
Come on. That was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good, yeah.
Oh, come on. Why'd the chicken cross the road? What else are you going to throw at me? Jeez. Jerry back.
He's going to Winnipeg in January. Bring the parka, baby. That's going to be cold. Game time?
Game time, baby.
All right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So like I mentioned to you guys earlier, and we were talking about a little bit, the Montreal Canadiens and the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Pretty surprising that the Montreal Canadiens are only slight underdogs in that game, plus 110 on the money line. Really interesting one for me, just in terms of where both teams are at. Seems like they're heading in different directions. Excellent game later on tonight. You can watch it on Sportsnet Plus. Florida Panthers in Colorado to take on the Colorado Avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche are slight favorites, minus 125 on the money line, and the Florida Panthers are plus 105. It's a great matchup, potential Stanley Cup final matchup. The Washington Capitals and Buffalo Sabres, not as exciting of a game, but that game... it's on at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet Plus as well. The Buffalo Sabres are plus 125 in that game as underdogs. In the last game tonight, only four on the schedule. The New Jersey Devils are in Seattle to take on the Kraken. Jersey sliding a little bit here, lost four in a row. And they are minus 245 favorites on the money line. So pretty big favorites in Seattle tonight, looking to get off the schneid on a 4-game losing streak. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, a few NHL news and notes, including the concern now with the Ottawa Senators and their goaltending situation. The New York Rangers are getting scoring help. Unfortunately, it's not for them, JT Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty more still to get into. My beef with that World Junior Tournament.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like I created it.
No,
the tournament
as
a whole, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With still more to dig in with Gord Stellick, Sam
grinds my McKee.
When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Cunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Sammy McKee, Gord Stellick, as a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Born brought to you by Bet365. All right, the New York Rangers claimed Arthur Kaliev from the Los Angeles Kings. Clearly, maybe add some depth. I think he's young enough. I don't know what the heck happened there, but yeah, he seemed to be this like kind of up-and-comer, too good for the American Hockey League, ready to score goals in L.A. It was never a fit. They held on him forever without him really playing or having a significant role, and now the Rangers claim him with what, the thought of taking over for Kako, maybe, who was traded to Seattle?
Like, he makes $825 too, so it's not even like I thought at first, did he make a contract that was a little bit out of whack? Kippy, I've been there. Their thought is they're desperate, okay? So it's a waiver wire pickup. Take a flyer at it. Can't go wrong with it. He wouldn't have been a guy they targeted, okay? It's not a guy like, oh, because obviously that he wouldn't be put on waivers like he was. But for the New York Rangers, the way Kako was playing this year, I guess it doesn't take much to replace him in the lineup. But they got, what I want to ask you is, because you're tight with Mark Messier. I mean, when he talks about there's a disconnect between the general manager and the coach.
Yeah.
Really hard.
So, because there's always been thoughts about what's going on off the ice, quite often organizations that are struggling. So it was, they beat Chicago. You're still supposed to beat Chicago. Louis Domingue's a fun story. He got to play. Hadn't been playing well in the AHL, by the way. People wonder why he wasn't back up. But man, oh man, like to say there's a disconnect, I guess, between Chris Drouin and Peter Laviolette.
Yeah. Can you find that quote, Mark Messier's quote on
Gordo basically summed it up.
He went on ESPN and he really said that, and I think he summed it up so well, just in terms of people that.
Here it is. This is a paraphrase of what he said. But he said, right now the core is fractured. There's a disconnect between management and coaching staff. There's a lack of trust and loyalty now. Mark Messier saying that about the Rangers, that carries a lot of weight.
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. And I think there's such a fine line, Gord, and you tell me how you feel, but in terms of, hey, be a pro and play, right? Play through it or play whatever you want. But to Mark's point, if it's so hard to win, especially now that you've got 32 teams all taking a crack at it, starting of October. But if there is a disconnect, if there is a lost trust, what are the odds of success?
So now, first of all, is his nose out of joint that he didn't get a job there years ago? Like a bigger job?
I think there was opportunities for him to come in, and I believe that it never opened up.
Okay, so I'm not saying that's his motivation. I just didn't know if, that he felt spurned at whatever particular point. But, hey, when he talks, it's like E.F. Hutton. People listen. And that picture is the picture, him holding the Stanley Cup. I know you think it's you holding the Stanley Cup. That's the second picture. The first picture is him holding the Stanley Cup and being arguably as great a leader as there's been, in a professional sports thing. So it's one thing, the players, they got off to a great start this year. And you got to suck it up, regardless what's going on. But when he talks about something between the general manager and coach, that's serious. And it happens. And it makes it big time dysfunctional. And players aren't dumb. And they read about that. Now, again, it's a bit of a cop-out to say that's why we're the President's Trophy team from last year and we're struggling right now. But when you don't have they're all for one for all, you don't trust what management's doing, you're suspicious, all that stuff, that's wasted energy. That's where you want to focus everything on a common goal. That's what the great organizations do. And you were part of it, and he was part of it.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly.
Listen, our 94 team, we had many opportunities to derail the thing, but he was the one bridge that kept it going, especially with Keenan and his ways and sometimes his the things that he could say and how it could further, have a negative effect on a guy like Brian Leetch or Mike Richter or, down the roster. And yet he found a way to just bridge it, just get it to a place where it doesn't make Brian Leetch completely fall off a cliff, his game anyways, right? And it doesn't appear like there's anybody right now in that dressing room, as far as long as Chris Kreider's been there. You know, Adam Fox won a Norris. And yet they don't have what appears to me is the ability to kind of take control of that dressing room within the confines of that room and what goes on the ice. There just doesn't seem to be as anybody that can find a way to overcome this.
Well, you traded your captain.
Zibanejad right now is one of their highest paid players with a complete no move right now. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he just scored maybe the second even strength goal of the season. It's like, who's in that room going to take charge right now?
Well, you traded your captain, too. Like, that's always a sign of something's amiss. We talk about Vancouver trying to get the players to figure out in their dressing room. I mean, here, like, that's like a smoke bomb. You know, you traded your captain. You're the President's Trophy winners. You made it clear all summer long you were trying to move them. And the Barkley Goodrow thing. And, you know, I know they're very tight with the training staff got changed when Chris Drury came on board. And he's entitled to do that. A lot of guys come on board, make a lot of changes off the ice. So a lot was being made of that in New York that he came on, like, you know, big. All guns a-blazing. And he's not the only one that ever would have done that. But it just seems that every button that's been pushed the last 6 weeks, and I mean from the management, from whoever it is pushing buttons in the front office on top of the inexcusable play by the team at times, has been the wrong button.
Yeah, if they could just play the Blackhawks every night, they'd be in great shape.
Well, they were pushing the right buttons till that game as well, but you're right. You're right. They kind of reverted back.
But just to, I mean, circle back on Kaliev that they claimed, I mean, he's a second-round pick in 2019. I guess 2019 is quite a while now. I guess it's the year the Raptors won the Cup. But he's got some pedigree. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's worth a chance, worth a try. You stink anyway.
Without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
You stink anyway. I think it's worth a shot. So,
but there's no question that New York Rangers, with their recent fallout, has given life to so many teams, like we mentioned earlier on in the show. Right now, it's Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
That's holding. And they're 17-17. So
by points percentage, the Sens are still in there.
Yeah.
But by straight up old school points, the Penguins are ahead of them.
The news on Linus Allmark is not good in Ottawa, where he has not even begun skating. And head coach Travis Green announcing that he is week to week. What's their goalie, Levi?
Well,
Merzlainen.
Valley. What did Valley say earlier in the season with Linus Allmark? What did he say? Dr. Seasonoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, he was looking into it. It's just, but this was like, a concern for him.
Good on this kid that's come up and kind of held the fort a little bit, but they're going to trade for somebody. Do they not?
Well, and you know, when like Allmark was the best goalie in the league the last 3 weeks before he got hurt, he was the best. He was as good as any goaltender in the league. So that's a tough one. When Travis Green said back spasms, Kippy, I thought that was a positive. You know, I just kind of thought, okay, it's like us, take some Robaxacet or something like that. You're going to be back, you know. But obviously, that's not the case. And yeah, depth wise, there's not a lot of teams that have that kind of depth. And you know, you're trying to hope someone is a Kevin Lankinen and can you know ride it for a month. And but right now, it's a tough ride. It's a tough ride because everyone's coming at you. Everyone's there. Montreal's there now. Detroit's back in. They're all there. Philadelphia's not going away. You know, they're Columbus is there.
The reason why everybody's in is because right now, it's shaping up to be like 85 points to get in. It's not, in the past, we've seen 96, 95, yeah. 94. Now it's like 500 hockey's now in the mix.
Well,
I don't know. Somebody's going to have to take off. Everybody's had good stretches, though. Pittsburgh's had a good stretch. Ottawa's had a good stretch. Columbus, now Montreal, for sure. Montreal now riding a heater here. But like, I don't know what that does for the trade deadline, but it makes a lot of people kind of hold their water right now.
They've had good stretches, and then when they have it, they can't sustain it. They keep giving it back. It's like a hot potato. Hey, I'm in. Oh, I'm out. Here you go. You're in. And, you know, and then, oh, somebody else is in. And that's what happened last year. I mean, Detroit, they had that game in Montreal. Remember, they were in for X number of minutes, then a few minutes they were out, and that ended their playoff hope. And you're getting that, but with even more teams right now. So if anybody can go on what Nashville did like last year, maybe Nashville can go on again what Nashville did like last year. I don't know, but it's almost like if you want to be cut and dried above because it's so clogged, you have to. You're talking about a heater. You got to go on a heater plus.
Yeah, and the Sens' next game is against the Red Wings on Thursday night. It's like that's all of a sudden with them, with McClellan behind, what, they won 4 or 5 in a row here now? They lost brutally to the Leafs in the first game of McClellan. I don't think they've lost since, so they're getting hot too. It's a real mishmash at the bottom of that. All the more reason for the teams at the top of their divisions, for Washington win the Central, sorry, with the Metro, the Leafs in the Atlantic, the Panthers in the Atlantic, to try to win that division to get whoever's going to be in that last spot. It's not going to be a great team here. It's a real chance to win the division. So, anyways.
A West, prior to a loss to the Montreal Canadiens in overtime Saturday night, Colorado's looking like the Colorado that we've been accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, Colorado and Dallas, sort of, because Minnesota and Winnipeg have been the wow teams. And it's funny, you know, Jerry D, when he joined us earlier, he's talking comedy, but even talking sports, he just said, yeah, I don't like getting out in front early. And I always remember the Buffalo Sabres were in first place. Remember that around U.S. Thanksgiving? What was it, 3-4 years ago? I still like getting out early. I love banking wins, yeah. Don't get me wrong, but quite often it's a misrepresentation how things finish at the end. So you kind of have sat back, and I thought Minnesota, what a great win over Carolina, 4-0, without Kaprizov, without Spurgeon. I thought that was a big win on Saturday for them. That was a nice one. But, yeah, they're playing like, you know, Colorado won a Stanley Cup a few years ago. Dallas has been one of those favorites the last couple of years. And then because of Calgary and Vancouver's inability to grab it and go on a bit and tear, like, no, you take it, no, you take it, no, you take it, St. Louis and Utah are right there. So it's really, really clogged up. It doesn't have the volume as the East does, but it's clogged up big time the last 10 days by those teams being in the spot and then relinquishing it the next game.
We crowned a World Junior Championship for the second consecutive time, the Team USA, Sammy, and you just give a big...
Makes me sick.
Makes you sick.
It does.
What about Team USA winning?
Yeah.
Well, it can make you sick. Come on. They won twice in a row. Congratulations to them.
No.
If you got, you know,
this,
Ryan.
This is why Sammy's on the show. This is what we love to hate about Sammy.
I'm going to say, it's
really worrisome. They've just been way better than us for multiple years here. Like, Canada got one with Bedard, but, I mean, I think it's, what is it, 5 of the last 7 matchups they've beaten, they've been better than Canada. They were way better than this tournament. They're producing all these top prospects. Like,
you're the guy that takes your net and goes home. So you're playing ball hockey as a kid, and little Sammy's in goal, and they all go by.
No, I'd never go to net.
Not only that, he takes the net. So you don't have a net to play with now, right? You know, he takes the net and go home. So Canada is not going to win it, so we should have folded. Some of those people stuck with tickets. We wish they could have given their tickets, sold their tickets back for the semifinal and final. But I got to start with a positive about USA, Finland making the final. The games were entertaining yesterday. Latvia was a positive story. Unfortunately, we weren't.
Got to come to the conclusion that there's a lot more to pick from in the U.S. than there is now in our country.
I totally understand it.
All we've done now is focus and build on hockey programs, thanks to having teams in Florida, Texas, California, obviously, you know, with added teams besides L.A. after all those years. Like, they're playing the game. They love the game. There's more to pick from. The percentages say, Sammy, that it's...
When they get serious,
it's going to be tough.
10 times the population base.
Right?
I completely understand numbers and people. Like, I don't like it. I don't like, I'm a bleeding heart Canadian. Hockey is supposed to be our thing, and we're falling behind here. We are.
Well, I know. I see. Then
we
quickly pivot there. Now, first of all, the women's hockey, we would love a third country to be up there with Canada, USA. So I'm the Chicken Little thing for me. This thing always gets way blown out of proportion both ways. And the one thing I can say right now, and I think, Sammy, you agree, and Kippy, you agree, is first of all, anyone in my circle is not bleeping on the Canadian kids, okay? Constructive criticism is fine. Being vilified is absurd, and it's the worst part of social media. That's where, I don't count that. Like, social media, you cannot be responding reactive to the dregs of society about allegedly vilifying the players or whatever.
At the same time, and this is not a shot at TSN, okay, because they're a business. They got to run it as a business. But the overhype to get them at that feverish spot, it makes it so easy for them to crash down. And that's that plays into it. And I'm not saying it's their fault. Like I said, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, to sit there and promote these kids and push and push and push. But when there's not the prize at the end of the race, it's a hard fall.
Yeah.
It's a natural hard fall because we kind of set them all up, the teenagers.
Well, we're the only country that has that kind of hype about it. And meanwhile, there's a bunch of good countries in there, but they don't face the same kind of, to your point, about living and dying.
We can't have it both ways. We can't build them up and overhype them like crazy and think that, you know, the sharks like Sammy aren't there and going to like, wonk, wonk, like Pac-Man, eat them up. Wonk, 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 wonk.
I never mentioned one person. One player on any social media. I never did that. It's more of a program thing for me in terms of top to bottom, in terms of just the way they pick the teams, in terms of what we have coming.
That needs fixing.
It needs fixing.
That needs fixing.
That's constructive criticism.
And that's like you can go through all my social media. I never crapped on Cowan. I never crapped on anybody. There's all these kids that are getting crapped
too
on.
Too many personal agendas still at Hockey Canada.
I completely agree.
And it's like, who gets picked and who looks good picking who and who wants to stick it to who when they don't pick certain players.
And who has influence.
And who has influence.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, that left them. It was interesting because, again, we could break it down way more about how you didn't pick your most talented team, but then you argue if you pick your most talented team scoring-wise, then when you lose, you said, well, you didn't pick a team, you know, whatever. So when you lose, you're ripe for any kind of criticism. That last period we saw when they scored two goals to tie Czechia, that's the team. That's the team we didn't see enough of. They beat Finland 4-0, but that one period was what they could be, and for whatever reasons.
They took stupid penalties, and you don't need to run people into the wall. You don't need a big check that if you miss, you end up clipping a guy with your knee. You don't need that. You need to contain. These are European officials, too.
I mean, you could look at the coach for not putting the best young forward on the top line until the third period of the last game of the tournament, too. Could have talked about that.
Well, there's everywhere around.
Yeah, of course, but it just...
I'm not going to the summit.
I'll be at the summit. I'll be leading the summit.
You'll be the whole summit.
I've said this on Friday. I'll say it to you guys here. We're heading into now. Marty Walsh has made it so that best-on-best hockey matters again. We're starting in with the Four Nations face-off into the Olympics, into whatever's coming after that. We need these kids right now to start to develop because McDavid's not going to be around forever. McKinnon's not going to be around forever. Like, we need the next ones to start filling out the rest of the roster. And this is America's at that level looks a lot better. And that's concerning to me.
So we're going to be around forever.
We're going to be around forever. And our kids are going to develop and they're going to be fine.
Okay.
It is the more the merrier. Like, there's more countries that are playing at a higher level than we had it to ourselves, say, 30 years ago, and we don't. And that's not all a bad thing. And Kippy, your point is, there's the it's become a extreme great event over Christmas, and it's got hyped to a level that you can say is absurd or you could say is unfair as far as the expectation on the young individuals. But... you know, being eliminated for the first time ever, first time in 30 years, anyway, whatever, in the quarterfinals is a tough pill.
Gordo, great job.
Thanks,
holding
buddy.
The fort for Justin today. Really
this time
appreciate
I was watching,
it.
I'm going to get out on time this time. I'm not going to keep
How
talking.
About the guy that lost his phone during the game in the KHL?
Amazing. So quickly, I saw what happened. Apparently, it was on the shelf by his elbow pad. He pulled off the elbow pad, and it fell into the back of his pants.
I did have half a energy bar fall out of my pants during a game.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure it was an energy bar?
I tucked it in.
It was
an energy
from
bar.
Caddyshack?
Was it unwrapped? No, it was not an O'Henry Gord.
Okay.
Our thanks to Jerry D for joining us and, of course, Gord Stellick. Have a great night, everybody. We're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.